All right, now it's time for the
Talk Radio.
I'm waking up. What an earth, man. Fire! Once again, it's that time, ladies and gentlemen. It is a little bit after 8, a little bit better late than never. You have reached, if you made it this far, you have reached the Kay Thompson Live Show. I am what has been traditionally known as the son. My name is Eric Bain, and you are?
I'm the mother of Eric Bain. I'm Kay Thompson. Welcome, everyone. We have a dynamite show for tonight. I think you're going to enjoy a lot of the information coming forth. You know, Eric, when we started the show, you know one thing I forgot about? There's one great environmental program that's downtown Newark, and it's called the Greater Newark Conservancy. They have a lot of programs and events downtown Newark, but the one that really, that I found out about earlier today, and how I hadn't known about it, but now we're just reporting on it, is that there is an area downtown Newark where kids can come and the general public can come to see a number of things involving growing things, involving plants, and involving gardens and all that kind of gardening and farming and everything right downtown Newark. As a matter of fact, this is sponsored by the Greater Newark Conservancy and for the spring and summer program and for a variety of programs, trips and community events and a journey toward lifelong appreciation of living things and commitment to nature. What does the Greater Newark Conservancy brought the wonders of nature and the urban into the urban environment and brought that to life through interactive hands-on activities throughout the year. Now, they had community greening, which was urban farming. In other words, the kids were building gardens and they were, you know, planting food and, you know, actually picking the food and planting flowers and actually had a farmer's market in that area, and they were committed to wellness, and there was also, because this also had to do with leadership, education, and youth volunteering. Where is it located? At 32 Prince Street in Newark, New Jersey, and there's a code here for people who want to, you know, get on the internet to find out about it. It's www.citybloom.org, once again, for you to try out, because you can still to try that. And get down there before it's over. I mean, it's not going to really be over, but I think it's going to be sort of, you know, calming down after the summer because it is a summer-based program, I understand. www.citybloom.org. How you can find out about that more of it is at 32 Prince Street in Newark. The number for you to call for more information would be, and it is 973-642-4646. That's 973-642-4646.
Or you can go to www.citybloom.org. That's www.citybloom.org.
Right. And you can find a whole lot of things. For instance, they have a home garden. In other words, you can only start your own garden. You need mulch, compost, a raised garden bed, or just some gardening mulch. You need that kind of information. That place to go, that, in other words, this fantastic program that is downtown, you know, just not in the heart of Newark. And there's another program called Ask the Gardener. Now, whether you're a beginner or an expert, you might, whether you have a green thumb or just getting started, a young man has the answers you need for the 2015 growing season. Also, there's a whole farming area where you know, you can actually rent a plot of land, you know, for $10 per plot. And if you like to garden, but you don't have the space, and you've always wanted to plant some veggies, but lack the know-how, then you can rent a garden plot and plot at one of their locations throughout the city for only $10 per person. You get the space, the seeds, and information on how to grow. And then there's the youth farm stand. Now, this was starting in May. It started, rather, and it's going through November, whereas fresh produce from their urban farms, rather, will be available at their own youth farm stand set up around Newark and the surrounding areas. So there's another one, farm stand membership program. With a farm stand membership, you will receive bags of fresh, locally grown produce every other week.
Produce,
and that's June through November. It's convenient, curbside pickup available.
Okay, I think we also have our other co-host, Mr. Wayne Gilman, calling in. Wayne, is that you?
Yeah, that's me. How you doing, folks? Good evening. I'm sorry I'm a little late, but I'm calling you all the way from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. How's everything down there?
Fine and dandy. What are you doing in the Pocono?
I'm visiting a family member, you know, and I just figured I needed to get out of the swamps of New York, the slums of New York City. Forget about the swamps, you know, and... It's a completely different life once you leave George Washington Bridge and you cross the river, as well as you two know. And and it's just a completely different environment when you just leave the city, period, you know?
Yeah.
And I need to do more of that, to be honest with you.
And what way
did
I missed that last, what did you say?
No, I was saying that I need to do more traveling like this. To be honest, you know, I just haven't had the time to, but I will be doing that as time goes on. So how are things here?
Things are great. Things are great on this side, Wayne. Just a couple of my mom is just reading off some things that are happening in Newark. If you're done, Mom, you want to...
I want to do this. Wayne, you're going to be interested in this because then you're going to want to come to Newark, and you haven't been here in a while, so not here.
Yeah.
There is a, I'm just telling people about this farming program that is downtown Newark. And it's absolutely great because you learn how to farm, the kids learn how to, and adults, you learn how to have a bed. There's a farmer's market, you can plant your own garden. Just think, the Wayne Gilman Garden.
Well, I tell you, it's time because I think, you know, I've tried everything else and I think that's at least wholesome, you know.
And you might even be able to have something where you have a stand to sell your goods. But just let me finish this with this. There's strawberry jam. Now, that's generally on Saturday. Where strawberries are in season at Court Street Farm. And they have strawberry-themed crafts. Strawberry jam, for example. They even a musical jam on the farm. This is the time of the so cute. Then there's wine and cheese in the garden. And those are samples. This one you can actually sample some wine and cheese. And the wine and the cheese in the garden, actually, you can sample that on June 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. The strawberry jam thing is on June 6th at 10 a.m. to 2. And now these things are free. The wine and cheese in the garden, that's only $5. And you can sample some wine and cheese while touring the gardens and helping the kids and the people raise funds for the North Youth Leadership Project. And if you're not a drinker,
that's going to be the entire month of June?
It's June, and it goes into July and into August. Let me see what else.
Oh.
Into August, yeah. Yeah, you can actually, the thing that I love about this, you can actually, you know, rent your own garden space. You see, listen to this. They have the Nelson Mandela birthday tribute, and that's on Friday, July 17th, so that's from 2 to 4, and it's free. And the way they find it is that they're saying that they're going to be paying tribute to Nelson Mandela at the second annual celebration. Mandela's legacy will be honored with food, music, dance, and poetry. And then there's a story that Nelson Mandela did have his own garden. You know, when he was, at Robben's Island, I understand. And that's the way that he was feeding himself and also some other people. Now, I hadn't heard of that. I don't think I heard that. But anyway,
he was very multifaceted and quite an accomplished individual, even though he spent 27 years of his life incarcerated. He was able to you know, really do something with himself in spite of the problems that he faced with the government.
And, you know, this is a way that the community is paying tribute to Nelson Mandela. And his legacy, of course, is going to be honored with music, food, dance, and poetry. Now, that's, again, downtown North New Jersey. And there's a garlic palooza. And then there's potluck. And that is where you break bread with other local gardeners at the summer potluck. Bring a dish, and that's to serve six people. And let me see what else. Walk and Talk at South Mountain Reservation. You know, that's the April 18th. And then there's a bike tour of the Newark Farms. A lot of people didn't know that there were Newark Farms or farms in Newark. There's going to be shops at several locations where you can discover how easy it is and how much fun it is to grow fresh food in the city. Now, and also you can volunteer, you know, if you want to help. So we're giving out
right.
that number one. People who are interested, it's 973-642-4646. Once again, that's 973-642-4646.
The website would be probably
on the front page here. So we'll get to that.
Okay. The website would be www.citybloom.org. www.citybloom.org.
Yep. And then also, back to school, this is the last, back to school in September on the 29th from 4 to 6, of course, the school year begins. And that's when you grow, you meet other members of the growing Newark network of school gardeners to trade tips, learn new techniques, and support each other. This thing is so fantastic. I can't believe it. So, anyway, that's downtown Newark, New Jersey, a new Newark.
Right.
And
right.
So,
yes, a lot of it is free, yes. And even when it costs, it's very minimal. I don't think it's any more than $5 and some of the things, even less than that. And then, of course, you can volunteer and you know, come on and enjoy yourself. Because
I would love
you know,
to, yeah.
To actively student learning and to enjoy school. And also, you know, there's takeaways, which include easy-to-use lesson plans from leaders in the field. So I think that's very important. I know a lot of teachers will take advantage of it. I know where I still teach in school, I would definitely take advantage of it because this is a dynamite program. So what's with you, Wayne Gilman?
I've been very much involved in looking at the healthcare system in the tri-state area over the last couple of weeks, just as an observer, just helping out friends. And today my brother, he needed some help. I went to a local facility here in the Pennsylvania, East Stroudsburg area. And, you know, this is just a completely different way in terms of how the medical establishment treats people from locality to different locality. I mean, I think living in the city, and OK and I, we were talking about that earlier this week over the phone, about how overpopulated and how saturated the medical institutions have become. And when you need urgent care, even though they're trying to outfit and establish many of these places to accommodate 8 million people living in a large municipality like New York, it's still not functioning well. And there are a lot of people who are falling through the cracks, unfortunately. And it just seems that as you go outside the area, I mean, I tell you, I was in an emergency room today, and I couldn't imagine that it would take no more than maybe 15, 20 minutes to be seen by someone, and then you're out on the street, you know? That doesn't happen in the city. And I know in Jersey it's a lot better than New York, so at least you all have been exposed to it. But I just think that there's a national shift with respect to what's going on with healthcare across the country. I have a very good friend of mine in the Midwest. He frequents the Mayo Clinic, and it just seems since Obamacare and the issuance of the Affordable Health Care Act the quality of services have just changed completely. So unless you're in a position where you can comfortably afford someone and go somewhere where you're going to be treated like as if you're a celebrity, I hate to use that expression, you're really gambling depending upon where you are and where you go and who you know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's disturbing.
So you're saying, Wayne, that you're noticing that the healthcare system within New York City is not good or what?
No, it's, as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to, you know, because there was a piece in the New York Post about a week ago. I think I read part of their survey, particularly in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn has become now such a hotbed of activity with respect to real estate that you think that the services are comparable to what people are paying for property values out there. And some of the worst hospitals, I think the worst hospital in New York City is considered Brookdale. That was discovered in the survey. And then you have Kings County next. And these are large institutions serving several thousands of people, millions of people in that county alone, you know, and of different ethnic groups. It doesn't matter who's going in there. The treatment is all the same, and the quality of service is despicable, according to the New York Post. And the ones that are worthy and highly favored in terms of going for treatment, Mount Sinai, and I think New York Cornell Medical Center in Midtown Manhattan, you know, you still have to wait before you're seen by someone. And I guess what I've observed, you know, from my travels, not just in the city alone, but coming out here, and I was in Jersey earlier on, and it's just like a world of difference once you cross the river, you know. But I'm still hearing that services aren't quite what they used to be prior to the Affordable Health Care Act.
Wow.
And I just think that a lot of it is attributable to the Republican Party and, excuse me, their determination to see this thing fall apart. And I just think it's a sad commentary on our society that one's life is predicated on one's political belief.
Well, unfortunately, that's where we've come to now. I think it's always been like that, to be quite honest. I just think that the Republicans, they've always had these plans in place since the Reagan and before, and they've had these plans in place to take wealth, to extract wealth or money from the middle class and the lower classes. I'm talking from a financial perspective, and have, you know, like Ronald Reagan, trickle down economics. I mean, the fact that they even came up with that term, trickle down.
Mm-hmm.
That's like they might as well say crumbs off the table, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's unbelievable,
exactly.
The mentality that individuals operate from. You're talking about trickle down, things trickle down. You know, that's like drops.
Yeah.
And just if you approach a form of government where you're trying to serve all the people, and you say, well, it'll trickle down. Down to who? Down to people who need it the most. Down to the people that are starving the most. So this is what they've been doing for years, and they've put a lot of these plans in place that are coming to fruition now. And the only reason we're seeing them go crazy is because their racism, in my opinion, is coming out.
It's a black man is president.
And so they're losing their mind in terms of some of the things that are coming out of their mouths. You said it's racism and what?
Elitism. There's an element out there, and the thing is, I hate to say, you know, brand one political party of espousing this concept, but you know, some of them just walk around privileged, and you know, the deal is that, and many of them are, especially if they're elected officials, the kind of health services that they get isn't even comparable, you know, to what it is that you and I would get. And I know your cousin is a congressman, so obviously he can validate that. This has nothing to do with political affiliation. But the deal is that they're enacting legislation that we have to follow those who are not elected. We have to support them in one sense, and what are they doing for us? That's what I'm looking at, and that's what you speak of in terms of the fact of the trickle-down theory of what Reagan developed 30, 40 years ago, the fact that racism has always been a factor in terms of the quality of health care you get. And the deal is that when you're living in a metropolis where there are 8 million people, 173 different languages spoken, and there are only but 46,000 cops to patrol a city, there are only about 8 municipal hospitals in which to accommodate 8 million people, and, you know, God forbid, as there's so much homelessness going on in the city now, you just wonder, where does this stop? What is it that they don't see that we see?
Well, it's not what they don't see. It's what they value, what their priorities are. Listen, they had the, I don't know if you're aware, but Loretta Lynch talked about this deal with 5 of the top banks in the world that are going to be paying penalties for, you know, the Wall Street things and things like that. And she said it was $2.5 billion in penalties that these banks would be paying, the most ever by some banks or something like that. I don't know if it's the most ever, but a pretty high number. And I was watching the story on the Ed Show. And he had some experts on there saying, you know, one guy said, you know, that's a drop in the bucket compared to what they make. They make $60 billion, $80 billion.
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
And what's going to happen is that those fines are going to come out of the shareholders' hands. They're not going to come out of the bonuses that the CEOs get. They're not going to come out of the money that disappear, that people steal. And these guys said that, you know, the only way you're going to curb this activity is somebody's got to go to jail, you know,
yeah.
And not the guy at the bottom of the totem pole. You can't prosecute a theory. You can't prosecute, that it's illegal to do that. You can't prosecute the system. You have to prosecute the individuals that are within that financial system that are abusing the system and breaking the law. So, you know, they have it going all the way around. And I'll give you another example. You know, the oil spill in California.
Yeah,
off the coast,
yeah, I just heard about that.
And these individuals, they care nothing about the earth. It's really unbelievable that Republicans are trying to open up drilling off of the western coast, the west part of the country, trying to open up the drilling rights off of the eastern part of the country. And we're constantly having oil spills and pipelines rupturing. And
it's killing the environment.
And it's killing the environment. And I saw a news story the other day that was talking about how much money is spent with fossil fuels. Let me just get this, because I had to write this down. And it says, this is per MSNBC, the Alex show or whatever now.
Yeah.
And what happened was that they talked about that $5.3 trillion in fossil fuel subsidies are given every year by the world's governments to various fossil fuel producing companies. $5.3 trillion in subsidies are given to these fossil fuel manufacturing companies by the world's governments. It's all the governments in the world. That is the equivalent of $10 million every minute of every day in public subsidies.
Definitely.
So they're robbing the public of $10 million every day, every minute of every day. $10 million. Unbelievable. And it is more than every government spends on health care. And this is a study that is according to... This is a study according to the International Monetary Fund.
Wow.
So the International Monetary Fund, the guys that monitor the money, said the world's governments give $5.3 trillion in giveaways to oil-producing and other fossil fuel-producing companies. It's more than every government in the world spends on health care for people. So our priorities are screwed up. The rich, the powerful, they're the ones that are, or at least certain ones, not all, are driving the country and the world into the ground. And you talk about the oil spill, the ash problem in West Virginia or North Carolina. North Carolina has an ash problem off of the coal. And the people that tried to bring, you know, the people that are conservationists and environmental people tried to bring a lawsuit against these people. And what happened was that they were blocked by the governor. of North Carolina,
who used to be an oil executive, who used to work for one of the coal producing companies.
So
the administration in North Carolina is blocking the environmentalists from suing and making and holding Duke Energy responsible. And across the border in South Carolina, where they don't have a governor who used to work for the coal industry, they're going ahead and allowing these lawsuits to go through and making Duke Energy pay these fines. So it's all about, you know, what you're connected to, who you have influence with, and you know, that's why if you have a society that thrives upon a class system and money and wealth, then of course, whoever's got the most money is going to have the most influence.
Mm.
We have another caller in, and let's see.
This is going to be Sandra.
Is that
Sandra
Ravis?
Hello. Yeah, hold on there, Sandy. Well, we're going to be talking here about legal services. You know, I know a lot of people ask, how can we do this and how can we do that? And we had mentioned legal services earlier, you know, in the show, so we were going to be talking to Sandra. But Sandra, hold on, because we need to finish up this point, you know, about the environment and,
I just wanted to say that, and Wayne, mm-hmm. as and the president said today, you know, if we don't take care of the environment, that is a security issue in the United States.
What bothers me about that, Eric, and I hate to interrupt, and the thing is, Obama's my man, but he signed off on that offshore drilling thing when the last catastrophe occurred in the Gulf, you know, and he saw what damage incurred as a result of that. And the deal is that, you know, you can't have it both ways, you know. It's either one or the other as far as I'm concerned. Or what are you doing in terms of improving the environment when you're signing off on legislation just to keep these people empowered and try to bolster the economy as opposed to looking at alternatives to prevent something like this happening again or finding some other modality in which to use these resources properly without killing what it is that we're living in. You know, what value does that serve?
I would be interested to see how accurate that was. I don't know if he actually signed off and allowed them to drill it. I was under the impression that they were already...
No, he authorized, because there was a situation where he was asked to enact legislation that authorized the offshore drilling just before the Gulf contamination occurred about 3 or 4 years ago. And the mm-hmm. deal is that the administration court held for that because the deal is he was just, I think it happened in his first term. And, you know, it's almost like as if he had egg on his face because he believed what BP was saying all along, that they could prevent these problems from occurring. And sure enough, I mean, listen, you're going to go 20,000 fathoms under the earth and you could visually see or know, you know, precisely that something is not going to happen. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a scientist, and maybe I sound like I'm just too jingoistic in my speech with respect to what's going on to that, but it just didn't seem to add up. And, you know, as I said, I'm an Obama person. You know, I support and I understand the pressures that he's under, you know. But one thing that I take to task, he said change in 2007, and I'm sorry. You know, Washington doesn't change overnight.
Right, but that's not Barack Obama's fault.
Yeah.
Just to put a button in this so we can end this conversation. John Grimaldi, I cannot pronounce his last name. He's a congressman from California, was on the Ed Show as well. And he was talking about these discussions that we need to have about the environment and what's happening with global warming and such. And he said the Republicans, the way they're operating is that they won't even allow these discussions to come to the floor to even talk about the plan that we must put in place. Secondly, what they'll do is they defund the people that are supposed to be regulating, you know, the environment, one of the agencies that are supposed to be regulating these things. So they take the money away for them to enforce it and for them to be able to do the work. Then they won't even allow a discussion to come to the floor to talk about it as a problem, what we need to do. And then, of course, you have the crazies. Like, what's his face? The Canadian Spanish guy is running for president, Ted Cruz.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Who wants to say that the climate climate change people are equivalent to the flat earthers. You know, and I'm wondering who elects these people and allows them. I mean, if you think about voting for somebody, you go to hear them speak. Doesn't it, when they say something crazy, doesn't it just kind of get a red flag? It's a red flag in the air, like this. What? You know, when they say take that hard left and old crazy stuff like they like to do, every once in a while, if you listen long enough, it's going to come out because they can't help it. And right. I'm wondering, and clearly they're preaching to the choir because there's a whole bunch of people like them that just go along with that. And you have, I mean, we could talk about even the war and our situation overseas, our foreign policy. You know, we have the brother of a president who got us in a war. They lied. They had a pre-arranged thing. They wanted to go take Saddam Hussein out, and they made up the lie about what was going on in Iraq. And here's the guy's brother. He can't even say it was a mistake. And it was
It was a trick.
It wasn't really a tricky question. All he had to say was, now, apparently now it would appear so it was a mistake. That's all he had to say. But because they don't want to say that George Bush made a mistake, we saw Marco Rubio, because every time I see Marco Rubio speak, I'm like, who thinks this guy is really that sharp?
No.
Because this guy talks, not the question, I don't understand the question, and he's getting it from one of his own people, Chris Wallace, a conservative Fox guy.
Yeah.
He says, I'm asking you the question. So anyway, let's forget about that. We need to move on.
Yeah, we want to find out how people...
We want to talk about the legal and what exactly...
Legal services. We want to find out people can use legal services that can get out of this and even start their own business and get some more money.
I need to talk to her about some legal problems myself.
Well, her name is Sandy Rivas. Sandy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi,
everybody.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm just so enthused by the conversation, and it's just right on point as far as I'm concerned. Because I'm with everything that you guys are talking about. I'm on board with it. So we could talk about that for a couple of hours. But I'm here to talk about some legal services that are being offered. I'm sorry.
People need legal services very badly, so we're offering.
I know, right? What we do is we have information that will tell your listeners about some services for individuals and families that provide them with help that they might not know about. And it's help that sometimes we don't even think that we need legal services, because many people talk to me and they'll say, oh, I don't need that because I'm not a criminal. I don't do illegal things. And then I ask, well, do you sign a credit card? I mean, most everybody does that. And do you have a cell phone? If you do those kinds of things, you're involved with contracts. And when you sign a contract, you might need an attorney to look over what you signed, because the people who are presenting those contracts to you, they've had attorneys pull those different pieces of legal ease together for their benefit, not for your benefit. So
that's right.
You know,
could
people,
be even your own family with that. That's right.
Exactly. And if you're getting a lease for an apartment, or if you're buying a house, you sign a contract. So you need to have somebody looking at that that's, you know, working for you and not for the other side. Just as an example, there was a couple that went to one of those vacation retreat kinds of things, and they were offered 7 vacations. And so they were just ecstatic. Wow, they were going to be able to travel all over the world anywhere they wanted to go. So, and the price seemed to be very affordable. But the salesperson handed them a contract, and it was like 3 pages long, of course, with fine print. And so the couple tried to, like, speedily read through the wording, and they didn't understand everything. So they told the salesperson, well, listen, we'd like to show it to our attorney. And do you know what happened? The salesperson was so indignant and so angry at them because how dare they question something that he was presenting them, and he tore the whole contract up. So,
all right.
And this is a true story. He tore the contract up, and he told them that, well, they could no longer do business with him. So then a couple thought, wow, they must have been trying, you know, pull a fast one on us, and they were not expecting us to say, oh, we need an attorney. So even though many people think, well, I'm not a criminal, I don't steal, I don't rob, with identity theft, so many innocent people have been accused of doing things, and some of them are able to explain their way out of it. Others, they need legal representation, and so... in the near future, I know that the legal services are going to be available through this program, and anyone who thinks that they don't need one, can I just give a couple of examples beyond that?
Sure. Yeah. I think people would like to know how
yeah.
to save money, how to deal with their money, and also how to make money.
Absolutely. So that part, too. Okay. So, I mean, people, they need wills. Many of us think we're going to live forever, but unfortunately we're not. And if you don't have a will and you have property, there's so much red tape in terms of having your heirs get a hold of your property. But some people say, well, I don't want to leave them anything, but I'd rather leave the, what, even relatives that I don't like, my property than have the city or the state seize my property. Some people have creditors that are threatening to take action against them for their ex-spouse's debt. And suppose a friend is injured on your property and sues you, or your dog bites somebody, or a friend owes you money and files bankruptcy so you can't get that money, or your car is damaged by a hit-and-run driver. These are all things that people have a tendency not to think about as being legal issues. Or a hairdresser, ladies, listen to this. Suppose a hairdresser damages your hair with harsh chemicals. Now, you know, all of us are trying to be beautiful every day, but some of those people, they don't do our hair right, and they hurt us. Or your car is repossessed unjustly, or you're subpoenaed, or you buy a car and a week later it doesn't work. So, I mean, those are just like a couple of things that an attorney could be used for. And
yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was about to ask, if you don't mind, there's a very big story in the news these days about the Japanese manufacturer of airbags. And there's a survey that was recently taken. One in every four Americans is driving a car that literally could have this airbag explode on you and kill you.
Right.
I'm just wondering, you know, with this admission now that they realize they did something wrong and the inability to help everyone all at once, I mean, I could be driving home tonight, and I drive a Japanese vehicle, and I could fall victim to something instantly without, I mean, I'm certain your organization would have the resources in which to fight organizations like that.
Well, definitely, because we're national. We're not just in a city or a state. We're all over the country, and we're also in Canada. And our law firms have taken on some pretty big cases, so that probably is going to end up being a class action. But they also said tonight, as I was watching it, that it might take years because they're like, I don't know, they said something like a figure of 17 million airbags that they can even think about. And who knows which airbags. They gave an email address where you could go online to see whether or not your car has the airbags.
Right.
But they said even outside of that, if you find out that your car has that airbag, that it's going to take years to be able to accommodate everybody because they don't have enough service stations, and it would just, it's a humongous task. And you're supposed to put your VIN number in. So that's definitely going to be something that people will be filing lawsuits for. And It could be individually they might file it, but unfortunately, people are going to die with this thing. You know, if they're in an accident.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. That's going to be. It's scary.
Let me ask you. Okay, we know what you know. The reasons why people should have it, and we've cited some examples. What is the name of the company? First off, the actual name, and for people who just are tuning in, what's the program that might be available, or how can they take part in the legal service? Is the name of the company is Legal Services?
Well, it's something like that, and I know that Kay and I were talking, so she wants to have, a nice presentation about it next week, so I don't want to give away the surprise. I think that we're trying to pique everybody's interest right now, and the way to get into it or get more information about it would be to call a number that Kay, I know, is going to have ready for your constituents next week. So I don't want to leave the cat out of the bag. But just know that it is. I'm sorry.
It's a good program, and we're going to find out that. Well, we were talking about this, I think, a couple of years ago. Also, we were going to find out that sometimes you need attorneys. In fact, a whole lot of that. And you may not have the money, but this organization will help you. So this, all that, and we're going to be giving out numbers next week. And they're opening up the phone to people who want to know more about it, because it's up to you to really, you know, save yourself, because sometimes you can get into a legal situation and not be able to afford attorneys. So that's a very good thing to have in your bag of, you know, help. I should say not a bag of help, but people who need legal. So what else can we know about the organization? Fanny.
Oh, what did you say was the last part?
What else can we know about the organization? As a matter of fact, so what other things? What about people? Well, like Wayne. Wayne has a couple of houses, and you have people in the houses, and you have problems, right, Wayne?
Oh, yeah, I always have problems. If not the tenants, it's the toilets. If it's not the toilets, it's the tenants, you know, and sometimes, you know, people will test you to see whether or not if you're up on what's required, even if you sign a document saying X, Y, and Z is the case. In fact, I've had an occasion where I will have somebody's, I believe I have a policy of no smoking on my property whatsoever. I don't care if it's inside, outside, whatever. And,
that's great.
You know, immediately people will think, you know, it only applies to cigarettes. And I've had a situation where someone recently, I'm not going to mention the name of the party location, approached me about medicinal marijuana, which seems to be a popular thing now. And and they figured that there must be some variance, you know, because they may be medicating themselves this way that they are not to abide by what the house rules and the lease dictates. And, you know, very often, I don't care what you say, I'm sorry about your illness, but I don't care if you're smoking your drink. My thing is, no smoking is no smoking.
That's right.
Yeah, you know? So, and it's not just something that seems to be a growing trend now throughout the city of New York.
Right. I think that it all applies to where marijuana is legal and also medical marijuana. I think that wasn't there a thing where Christy was either saying that it wasn't going to happen in New Jersey. I have to get up on that. But
farms in Jersey. There's a farm in Jersey. I think it's legal in certain parts of New Jersey. I think Rutgers is conducting a farm somewhere in central Jersey. But in New York, the legislation has not, it's been approved, but it has not been enacted. And that's the issue. If you go in other states, I think there are 17 other states where it's okay, but that doesn't mean because you're coming from another state and you've got a card saying it's okay in Colorado that you could get away with it in New York.
Well, Tony, but what I'm thinking is, just as an individual, that if you as a landlord have that in the contract, at least that anyone of your tenants signs, I think that that probably would give you a legal basis to say that they might have to move. I mean, if they have a medical issue where they have to take marijuana, then they might just have to find another place to live. Because that lease is supposed to be something that you can take to court and that should be upheld in the court. So, but
exactly.
That would be, you know, up to the attorneys to decide. And look, unfortunately, I'm not the attorney. I'm the agent that talks to Barry's clients about coming into our network.
Hmm.
Well,
yeah,
the person needs the attorney, then with the legal services, then this enables them to get the attorney and not spend up,
mm-hmm.
and not have to sign away your whole life savings.
Exactly, exactly. So the services that we provided are for individuals, families, also for businesses, and for CDL drivers, police, teachers. It's just a very vast network that pretty much covers everybody. And we're very happy about it because it's making a living and while making a difference. For people who might not have been able to afford legal services, for our services, it's less than $20 per month. And not everybody, but many people feel that they can afford that. So it's something that we're very excited about.
Yeah, and we're going to bring these two people, you know, next week, starting next week, and we have to just let them know what they have at their fingertips and things that won't cost you a lot of money, and in some cases it probably will be making money because it's also the whole business aspect of it. But, Sandy, I'm glad that you know about this, you know, right up to this particular point, and we are getting ready to go off. But, you know, we're going to be talking to you again, if not next week, and the week after, to give everybody more information on how they can become involved, because you never can tell when you're going to need that help. For instance, people have cars.
Mm-hmm.
I told you about getting involved with the police department. You know, and you don't have any money, you don't know what to do. Well, you need an attorney. But you can't afford it. Yes, you can. You know, if you have an organization more for you, which I found to be, you know, very helpful. Very helpful is absolutely necessary. So thanks for bringing this to us, and we will be talking to you again. And we will have numbers and everything for people and, you know, follow this and make sure that we are helping the community. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. That's really important because, you know, we did this sometime before, and so a lot of people were saying, well, what are you going to do about this company again? I said, once I find out if they are still in existence, and they are they really helping people? Yes, and it's very successful, but people are very satisfied with it. You know, when you get into a legal situation that you can't get out of because you don't have the money, that's really very sad because you can lose everything, and you don't want to lose everything, you know? So, but also I want to tell people, too, Wayne, that, you know, we're going to be having more time, and we need to tell you about this because you're involved. And one of my segments and is about books. And I'm looking at a book right now that, you know, is not really rare, but not as many people as you would think would have this book. And that's Revolutionary Suicide by Tim Newton. And it's a signed copy of the book. And it's actually fascinating. Of course, Tim Newton was the founder of the Black Panther Party and really was dynamic and really resourceful, involved resourceful leaders in the community. And his contribution to the struggle for Black liberation, you know, won a lot of recognition all across the country and out of the country. So this is a very important book. I've had it all this time, and very, very interesting things in it. And, of course, you know, there's the death of Huey Newton. He was a young guy, and he just didn't like the way that, African-Americans were being treated. Now, this is a long time ago, but it's a book that I have been reading and cherish and really, really good. And there's a number of other books that I have that about, for instance, Dr. Van Sternmer, you know, his book, They Came Before Columbus. And you may remember that I had interviewed Dr. Van Sertimer. He was a professor at Rutgers, and he was from one of the Caribbean islands. And he verified and confirmed the findings of Dr. Van, Dr. Clark, and, you know, a number of other, you know, historians all that we know the names of. And, you know, so that I'm in the process of reading. We have about 90 seconds.
Oh, wow. Okay, thank you again. And I just want to take a moment and thank my brother Jason and his wife, Georgina, for allowing me to disrupt their house for an hour so I could do this. And, you know, it's good to be out of town and just see life from a different perspective. But I miss you guys, and hopefully one day I'll be able to get back there to see you all in person again soon.
Okay.
And I'm anxious
okay.
to hear about the plan.
Yeah, I'm
going to
tell you about it. Jerry?
All right. Okay. Wayne Gilman, our famous, legendary newsman, co-host.
News director.
News director. Once again, it's been real. We want to thank everybody for calling in and listening in. Thank you, Sandy, for letting us know about that. And hopefully next week we'll be able to get a little bit more information.
Right.
Want to thank everybody for listening to the K. Thompson Live Show. Wayne, you want to sign off a little bit, say goodbye to the people?
Well, it's always a pleasure. It's an honor and a pleasure to be accompanied by you, Eric, and your lovely mother, who I've known for, I want to say 1,000 years, but she is just as youthful as she is from the first day I met her, you know. Of course, that's what I'm told to read here. But, no, I want to say thanks again. It's been great. And I look forward to next week.
Thank you for calling in. I want to tell everybody to call in every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. on the Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. /
K. Thompson Live every Wednesday at 8 to 9 p.m. Or you can listen to the show archive. You don't have to listen to it live. Thanks, Wayne. I am the son, Eric Payne, and you are?
I am Mother Eric Payne. I'm Kay Thompson. Kay Thompson Live, everyone. Join us next week from 8 to 9 p.m.
All right. Good night, everybody. Ciao for us.